We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us from the MMQB, Chris Fedor in for Adam the Bull on this Thursday. It's Albert Breer. Hey, Albert, how are you?
What's up, guys? Do you want Paul George?
Kind of.
Yes, kind yes. Of, yeah. The Cavs want Paul George.
Yeah, I think so, Albert. I think so. What about you?
Think, if I'm Indiana, I don't know why. I just don't know why Indiana would want Kevin Love. Like and that's nothing against Kevin Love, but like if I'm any of these teams, man, I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, I'm building for 2021, yep. 2022. Like I'm not building for right now. And so if I were them, I'd be looking for 21, 22-year-old players and picks.
Well, that's the third team, and that's why it seems like it's going to take a third team, Albert, to get it done, whether it be Denver or somebody else. Denver was rumored to be involved, and then the Pacers at the 11th hour sort of turned it down. So yeah, they don't want Kevin Love.
What's the vibe in Boston?
What Woj reported the other day has basically dominated the airwaves the last 2 days, that they're gonna go get Hayward, they're gonna go get George, and the whole argument here is that one that I was that you know, do you build for right now or do you hold on to all the assets and hope that, you know, when the Warriors are, you know, when those guys are over the hill and the Cavs are dismantled, that then you'll be, you know, ready to make a real run. So I tend to be more on the side of waiting if it was me, because I just don't know. Even with George and Hayward and IT and Horford, I still don't know if that's even good enough to compete with Golden State.
Is there a belief in Boston, Albert, that Paul George would stay in Boston beyond 1 year if they made that trade, or are they feeling it's a rental?
That's a big question. That's the other big question here too. Is would he be convinced to stay? And you know, like that's the way it was with Kevin Garnett before he came here, and you know they wound up convincing him to do a deal. So, we've heard for so long Paul George wants to be in LA and he wants to be a Laker and all of that. I think it's a little tougher in this situation to take that leap of faith and say you'll be able to keep him, you know, beyond 2018 without getting a written agreement in place. So that's part of the deal too, of course.
All right, Albert, let's switch some gears here. Albert Breer, MMQB, joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Derek Carr, the big news this offseason, got a huge extension from the Oakland Raiders. Not necessarily what does this mean for the Raiders and Carr, because I think that's obvious, but what does this mean for the rest of the quarterbacks or the rest of the NFL in terms of what his contract set up in terms of the market?
Almost nothing. It's another step forward for quarterback. But, you know, the structure, the guaranteed money, I mean, he fell short of Andrew Luck in those categories. He's a little ahead on average per year. And, look, I think he did the right thing, you know, because he was set to make less than $1 million this year. And this is financial. This is life-changing money for him. You know, he's made less than $5 million. You know, now, this is going to, assuming he continues to play well, he's putting himself in nine figures, you know. And so it makes sense for him. I don't think it's the same with Cousins. I don't think it's the same with Stafford, because both of those guys already have a lot more money in the bank than Carr does. They're set to make a good amount of money this year, and they've got leverage points ahead that could put them in a position to demand a spot, where Stafford's franchise tag number for next year is $26.5 million. Cousins' franchise tag number next year is over $34 million. There are business reasons for those guys to wait. With Carr, there wasn't a huge reason to wait. It's not like there was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It made sense for him to do it now. And because of that, the deal isn't really groundbreaking.
Albert, the Raiders are interesting. I mean, They were a playoff team, obviously, and Carr didn't play because he was injured, and they signed this big contract, the whole Marshawn Lynch thing. Like, what are the expectations for, you know, people that think that the Raiders could be like a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, and I think the good thing, Dustin, is that they handled their expectations last year, you know, because I think a lot of people looked at them last year as the potential breakthrough team. And you guys know, I mean, 4 out of 5 times that potential breakthrough team falls flat on its face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good sign that the young team already dealt with these sorts of expectations a year ago and came through with a 12-win season. So that tells me they're going to be able to handle everything that's coming their way now. And, you know, what I like about it is there's been one guy picking the players there for 5 years. And so there's rhyme and reason to the way the team is built. I think I'd put their inner core, their three guys. I mean, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Khalil Mack. I mean, as far as guys who are, 25 or under, I'd put that group up against any group, any three players in the league as far as building blocks, guys that you can build around. And, you know, they add elements to their offense that they needed. They needed to be a little bit more physically imposing. They brought in Marshawn Lynch and Jared Cook, and then on defense they needed help in the secondary, and they bring in Obi Melifonwu and Gary and Connolly. So I like the makeup of the team before they did anything, and then you see little moves here that address some pretty big needs. People out in Oakland have a lot of reason to be very, very optimistic about what's ahead, injury permitting, of course, because we saw the way everything fell apart when Carr got hurt last year.
Albert, you had a big piece on analytics in the NFL. Obviously, a lot of Browns fans have been talking more about analytics because of the front office that they have. But analytics in the NFL, just how much do they mean and how many teams are involved in that? And what does that actually mean in the NFL?
Well, I think the way most teams use them is to create boundaries. Well, so it's the old Bill Parcells thing. You know, if you start making exceptions, you're going to wind up with a team full of exceptions. Well, the boundaries that analytics set as far as height, weight, speed, the Olympic testing, all that different stuff, it doesn't mean you're not going to make exceptions, but you at least want to know when you are making an exception. And so I think the way most teams use it is it's a supplement to the player acquisition process, and then it's a tool that coaches can use on game day. Now, there aren't very many teams yet that are using it to drive decisions. And one of the reasons why is that, you know, the stuff that you guys have heard, football set up like different sports. There's not the big data in football that there is in baseball and basketball because those sports are set up simpler. Every play starts the same way. There are more games, all of that. And so, you know, the question I think that's out there now isn't whether or not they work. They work to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good teams are using them in pretty much everything that they do. The question is whether or not you should use that data to drive decision making. And that's what I think we've seen Cleveland experiment with a little bit. Jacksonville's experimented with it a little bit. No one's done it on a larger scale, but you know, I think that's really kind of the question is it's not whether or not the numbers are useful, it's how far they can take you. And I think that's what, you know, Sashi Brown and Tony Khan down in Jacksonville, guys like that have been trying to figure out the last couple of years.
How are people perceiving the Browns right now with their analytics-based model and stuff? Like, it seemed like this offseason, especially with, like, the Brock Osweiler trade, which was very basketball-esque when they made that move, it seemed like some people were like, oh, people opened their eyes to what the Browns are doing here. Have they turned the corner there with the way that they're perceived with the analytics side of things?
Well, Justin, I think it's going to boil down to how the players, you know, turn out.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The big thing, you know. Like, I don't think that there's a ton of argument about their asset management, you know, and, like, the way that they were able to use their cap space as an asset in the Osweiler trade and the way that they've been using draft picks to they've been able to accumulate draft capital. They've done a good job with that, and I don't think many people would argue that they've done a good job with that. The question is whether or not they can pick players, you know, and the question is whether or not they can turn it around and turn it into a winning team. And that's the part that I think is still murky, is how much can you use data to drive which players you're going to pick. And so, you know, this is going to take a couple of years to figure out, you know, to see whether or not they have that part of it right. As far as asset management, I think a lot of the stuff they've done is very, very smart. It's just you know, we got to wait to see how some of the young players they've drafted and brought in there develop and what they turn into before you can make a final determination on how that whole overall global philosophy is working.
Albert, what do you need to see from the Browns, if anything, in the 2017 season to make you feel like they're going in the right direction?
Development of young guys. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, they've obviously stockpiled draft picks. Last year, they stockpiled draft picks. This year, you know, I want to see guys taking steps forward. And so that's the first thing is, you know, the young players in the team, the Corey Colemans, those sorts of guys, even like the young veterans like Jamie Collins, you know, you want to see those guys developing and taking steps forward, and you want to see the pieces fitting together. And so I don't think it takes wins to see that. I think what it takes, you know, we'll know it if it's happening, you know, and how the team looks in November and December versus how it looks in September. And then the other big question, of course, is going to be the quarterback, you know, and to the guys in that building, you know, and early on in May and June, Deshaun Kaiser's already the most talented quarterback on the roster. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not he's ready to play in September could be a different story. But this being why people considered him a potential top 10 draft pick going into the 2016 college season. So that's the other thing I want to watch is what's going to happen at the quarterback position. Can Deshaun Kaiser, because I think he's going to be in the thick of the competition deep into the summer, can he actually win the quarterback spot? And then if he does win the quarterback spot, what can he do to prevent the team from drafting one in 2018 when there's going to be a pretty good class? That's obviously something that could be really, really fun with a team that I think is still at least a year or two away, no matter how you slice it.
Albert, always appreciate the time. Enjoy Gordon Hayward's visit coming this weekend.
Yeah, and then the Paul George trade after that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. See you, Albert.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.